with Rashi. We did the whole Mizmor test, the entire Mizmor with the Mitzudos again. We're going to do it now with Rashi. And then we're going to try to go through some of Farshim. Maybe we can finish this Mizmor today. It's a short Mizmor. So Mizmor L'David, we're going back to page 114. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam sha'akol ne'yeh bidvaroi.
Amen.
Okay, so Mizmor L'David. Hashem mi yogor be'olecha, mi yishkoyim behar kodshacha. A Mizmor L'David, for David, composed by David. Hashem, who can live in your tent? Who can dwell in your holy abode? There is no Rashi on this. Pasuk Beis, Hoylech, so the answer is, what is the answer to the question? Hoylech Tamim, the person who goes in the ways of wholesomeness, Upoyel Tzedek, and he's a practitioner of righteousness, V'dover Emes Bilvavoy. Rashi, V'dover Emes Bilvavoy, Hatoiv Shehu Oimer Bilvavoy, Hu Emes. The Einoi Echod Bapeh, the Echod Balev. Rashi learns, I think it's a little bit different than what we learned in the Mitzudos David. Rashi seems to learn, to review the Mitzudos David as a person who commits himself. Doiver emes bilvavoy, we translated as to mean that when a person commits himself in his heart, he will do something, he carries it out. I'm going to do it. I commit myself to do something, you do it. According to Rashi, it's not what it says. Rashi over here says the person's not a phony. He's not a faker. When the person says, what do you believe? So he doesn't just say, oh, you know, the part of, oh, I believe that learning is the most important thing. He says what he needs to say in order that he should get what he needs. He is sincere. He is a sincere person. Ha-toiv shu-omer b'levavai hu emes. What the toiv that he says, shu-omer b'levavai hu emes, it's interesting. The toiv that he says in his heart is true. Ve'enoi echad ba-peh v'echad ba-lev. He's not a phony. He's not a charlatan. He's a sincere person through and through. We look back at the mitzvahs one more time. Ha-toiv ho-lech tamim. Who asher hoy belvavoi ma'ames machsheves libo l'dvar mitzvah. Again, it's very different. Machloikis. Rashi and the Mitzudos. Rashi just says that he's sincere through and through. Mitzudos, commitments. If he decides he's going to do something, he carries it out. He doesn't falter. Okay, let's see the next passage. I'll come along to say something.
I think Rashi has some. There is in the pasuk, it says dover and then belvavo. Is he talking or just thinking with Vavo? As a medover and then with Vavo. Mashi is the dover, the Vemet Mashi is Balev. The Chad Bapleh, Chad Bapeh, the Chad Balev. This is what Rashi wants to emphasize here. Shahadibu, Hamachshava Balev,
they're
Otto Adavar. Because of the words, dover,
yeah,
then with
Vavo. So what are you saying? What are you say it again. I didn't catch what you're trying to say.
He said Rashi explains the koshi in the dover emet bilvavo. The milah dover is redundant.
Okay.
He says emet bilvavo is enough. But she says on dover emet bilvavo. So mashe hu dover ze mashe yesh bilvavo.
Okay, I see what you're saying. What he speaks, what he believes. He doesn't lie. He's not a liar. Okay, excellent. Okay, what comes out of his mouth is what's really truly in his heart.
It's what he thinks. Yeah.
Gimel now loy rogal al hashonei. There is no rogal. Rogal means there's no lashon hara. The mitzvah of it. Did he even translate this? What rogal? No, he completely skipped this pasuk from Mitzudas David. No, he said in the Mitzudas Sin, he says, "Ein rechilus, okay, v'loshen hara, kamo v'yargel be'avdecha." So we discussed this, the difference between loshen hara and rechilus. And the word rogal is used to refer to rechilus, when you go back and you tell the person what someone else said about you. And that creates an intense hatred between the one that said it and the... Ruchilus is where Reuven is talking to Yehuda, and he's talking about Shimon. And Reuven says to Shimon to Yehuda. Reuven says to Yehuda that Shimon is a ganf. And a person who listens to the conversation goes and tells Shimon what Reuven said about him. That is called Ruchilus. That is a very specific type of lashon hara. It's a much worse, much more intense type. That's called rogal. Loi rogal al shaynai. That's what the mitzude stuff is, how we translate the word rogal, rechilus. Go look on the very bottom, page 115. Inyan rechilus v'lashon hara. Kmo vayargel b'yavdecha. Rashi. Loi rogal al shaynai. Kmo vayargel b'yavdecha. The same exact pasuk, which is interpreted there in Shmuel. I guess we have to go to Chafetz Chaim as a reference to Rechilus. Then Rashi of this in French words, Rechol is not here. He says here, Mizmor ze lohidia midas chasidus. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Rashi over here is coming over here to tell us about the mida of chasidus. What is chasidus in the terminology of Chazal? Someone that goes lifnim mishuras hadin. The problem is, these things are not lifnim mishuras hadin. That's the problem. Because again, chassidus ordinarily means there's the basic halacha, there's the letter of the law, and then there's going lamala, more than what is required of you, lefnim mishur sadin. These things over here appear to be basic things. So what then does it mean? It's not really clear what Rashi here means, only chassidus. Next Rashi, the next page 116, the cherba al loy nasa, al kuroivoy. Okay, there are three different terms we learned. He does not speak, period. Then it says, and the third part is v'cherpa loy nasa al kreivoy. So Rashi, page 116, v'cherpa shame loy nasa al kreivoy im ovar kreivoy avera sheyesh ba'oinish anoshoy ba'mishpat. He punishes him with law v'loy nasa al v'cherpasoy. Now this is a very, very interesting translation. The person does not shame himself by covering up for his relative. How will that be a shame? Because ultimately there will be a Yom Hadin, and he'll be taken to task why he did not he covered up for his relative. Okay, so this over here, it's a very long translation of these words. Let's look at what's happening over here. We have over here a judge. A judge walks into the courtroom, his own relative. So under ordinary circumstances, had this person not been his relative, he would have thrown the book at him. He would have said, you're a ganef, you're chayef, you're guilty, you're going to be punished. But now that he sees the litigant is his own relative, so he decides to find for him a legal loophole that he should get away with his crime. Okay, so he gets away with it. A year passes, another year passes, 5 years pass, 10 years pass, and then all of a sudden one day they open up the Sefer HaZichronos, and they look over the record and they see the judge covered up. He committed a crime. He was corrupt. He covered up for his relative. And then it's exposed in the world that this judge, we have to remove all of his titles and his medals and his honors because he was corrupt. He covered up for his relative. So the cherpa is not going to happen now. The cherpa will take years. It may only happen in the next world. The cherpa that he's going to come suffer will happen in the far distance future because right now he's able to use the resource that he has available to get away with what he's doing. And what is he doing? He is covering up for a relative that committed a crime. If this was not his relative, he would go and throw the book at him. That's the way Rashi learns this plus. It's a very complicated translation. The cherpa means shame. He loy nasa. He will not carry. He will not carry. Nasa here does not mean, we'll go back to the mitzudas. What Rashi is saying now is very different than what we learned yesterday. Rashi is saying over here, nasa means he will carry upon his soul, upon his reputation, shame. Not now. A very, very long time. When all the books are opened up and there's an investigation that's made. When does these type of things happen? Al kiroivoy. When a person wants to abuse his power to help a relative, someone that he cares about. Look at the words of Rashi one more time. Al kiroivoy. Look at Rashi.
Like Moshe Avon, like
Hashem. No, that's not what he means. See,
he's Soleach.
No. Right. Okay. He's Soleach is relative. Right, but see, that's the word knows. Okay, yeah, look at Rashi. Im avar kiroivay avera sheyesh ba'oinish. Rashi is giving us background. We have over here, all we have in this pasuk over here is a relative. Doesn't say anyone. Rashi is giving us background. His relative committed a crime. And this crime ordinarily is subject to punishment. Ordinarily, if this person has not been his relative, he would have been punished. and the relative really should be punished. But the person administering the punishment is a relative. Oh, it's grandpa. Grandpa's the judge. So grandpa's going to save me. Im avar k'roivai avera sheyesh v'oynish. Anoshoi b'mishpat. Now a tzaddik punishes his own relatives according to the law. He does not show favoritism to one of his own. And by doing so, what he's avoiding is cherpa. Because if he would abuse his position and show favoritism to his relative, what would happen? V'loi nasa olav cherpa soi. What do you mean cherpa? He does not carry upon himself his shame. The way he's translating the word over here, nasa, on a very simple level is that the judge is not going to bear disgrace. Not now, later on. Sheyehe, because ultimately what will happen? Ultimately there will be an investigation. It will be discovered that there is corruption and the judge abused his power. And the one that will judge the judge, the judge of the judge, will declare Shepischen Pel Mukharef Loimar for a person who wants to one day and make an accusation to say, Kach Avar Ploni Kiroi V'cha, your relative years ago committed a crime, and you were the judge, and what did you do? V'chi Pisa Olav, and you covered up for him. So therefore, you are a shameful person. You no longer deserve that your portrait should be held in the court. You no longer deserve that there should be a statue of you galloping on a horse. You are corrupt. That will ultimately happen. That will ultimately happen because of your corruption. Therefore, over here, that's why Rashi over here is coming to address the difficult question as to why it says the word koroiv. We're discussing here midas chasidus. We're discussing here good midas. A person who is honest, he's not corrupt in mishpat for anyone. What is the word kiroivai doing here in this pasuk? What does it mean kiroivai? The answer is because that's where the nisyonos come. When your relatives need help and you have power, a person can abuse his power to commit, to do crime. And ultimately, there will be a day of reckoning, whether it's in this world or in the next world, and it will be exposed to crime, and the person who committed the crime will be put to shame, and he'll have to suffer the shame. How do you nip it in the bud? Don't be corrupt.
But don't serve.
What? I mean, don't serve. That's also not a mahalach.
No, not serve with your...
Recruise yourself. Is that the correct English word? To recruise yourself from
recuse.
Recluse.
Recuse.
Recuse yourself. Recuse yourself from mishpat. The person comes. First, you have mishpat.
Recuse.
A judge. Nogeya
abedavar. You disqualify yourself from being on the jury.
No, we know what it means.
Recuse determines recuse. To recuse yourself from serving as the judge. One of the biggest problems in many countries is. You have a self-interest, conflict of interest. Okay, they wanted right now, they were talking in Congress and news about senators should not be allowed to trade stocks.
Every time I had to testify in a Besdin, they had to ask all the rabbis that were on the Besdin if they're going to recuse themselves
for any reason.
Because they know me or not.
Recluse is somebody who lives.
No,
a recluse, that's a different word.
Recuse is to disqualify yourself.
You disqualify yourself because you're Nogei Abedavar. Today in Congress, so they were suggested that a congressman should not be permitted to serve if he is trading stocks.
Right.
Because if you're trading stocks, if you have stock in Moderna, in Pfizer, I know someone firsthand. He went to the doctor.
Oh, I think it's Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, she's 150, right. No, but I know someone firsthand. I was told this by a person. He went to the doctor. And he asked the doctor, should I take the vaccine? And the person who went is also a doctor. The person who went himself is a doctor, but a different type of doctor. And he said, and he laughed. The doctor laughed, and he went to the doctor's doctor, one of my own relatives. The doctor's doctor told him, he was speaking about the pros and cons of taking this and that. And the doctor, he laughed and he said, be like me, just buy stock in Pfizer. Buy stock in Pfizer. That's this is the words.
The best medicine.
These are his words.
Exactly.
He says basically make money out of this. You make money out of this. Like what they're doing very well. He just announced that he made $56 billion this past year. You know how much money that is? A lot of money. $56 billion. That just okay. So this is a very big problem of a conflict of interest. This is a very big problem in halacha. The Gemara says that if a person came, the judges sat in court in certain cities, and one day, I guess one day walks into shul a balabas, and the balabas sees the rabbi, and he sees on the rabbi's jacket there's some dust, so he goes over to the rabbi, and he wipes off the dust off his jacket. This is the Gemara. And he says to him, I haven't seen you in years. What are you doing here? He says, I have a din Torah today. And guess what? You're the judge. I see the roster. I came here because this is where the court and I have a din Torah and you're the judge. So the Dayan says, I'm possible to be your Dayan. You went and you brushed off my jacket. I'm impartial. I'm partial to you because you did. I'm possible to be your Dayan.
Good.
So today,
everyone
would be possible a million times over,
exactly.
A million times over. But sometimes, so you can't live like that. You have to do. But when it's to in a degree where people are making millions and millions of dollars off their decision directly, millions of dollars, and their husband, like every day you see in the news these things. Oh, this one's husband. Is on the board of this company, and the decision that the wife made, the vote the wife cast in Congress, basically would benefit her husband, her because her husband, millions and millions of dollars, that this should be legal or illegal or this and that. I mean, so it's one thing, you know, what are you going to say? Your pension fund, I don't even know who's managing it, and they invested 3% in this. You don't even know what are you going to say? But when you directly, such blatantly have what to gain and profit from these things, this is a very, very big problem.
It is.
It's an incredible problem in society.
I used to have to go to small claims court to sue customers who didn't pay bills when I was working for somebody else. And I was in court one time, and you don't know who your judge is going to be, but when I got in front of the judge, I saw who it was. And he looks at the name, didn't look up at me, and he says, "Ooh, how's your father?" And and the other guy was holding some papers in his hand. He threw them up in the air. I was thinking to myself, what an idiot. He didn't have to say it.
Of course not. Stupid.
So this is the biggest problem of conflict of interest.
Can you continue with the case?
Well,
I'm
gone.
Okay, so this is what it says over here. Then this is what it says over here in the now. If you go back,
the
shoychad lo yisikach ki ashoychad yaver piktim v'slev divrei tzadikim. This is an incredible part. I saw this. Who is this from? Who's? I don't remember. This is an incredible thing. What it says. This is one of the gedolei yisrael. I can't remember. So there was a maisa where there was a din Torah. It was a din Torah. It goes to ad kleikach how far it goes a bribe. There was a din Torah, and the person basically saw that he's going to lose a din Torah, and he asked some of his corrupt friends, what can we do? So he said, I'll tell you what to do. We'll bribe the judge. You can't bribe the judge. Let me explain to you what we'll do. They went and they. So it's a strange story, but. Take it for what it's worth, and if I had the names of the people, it would be a lot more meaning to the story. They already bribed all the other judges, it seems. And there's one judge left that he needed for the vote, and he was a very holy person. And it's not, you couldn't bribe him, not possible. So what did they do? They took his jacket, and in his jacket, they deposited money. And they didn't tell him nothing. They never told him anything. And he wouldn't know about it. Comes the next day, comes, sits in court, he doesn't even realize that in his pocket, was a lot of money. He has no idea. He never, and he says, I really felt like I was being persuaded to decide in favor of the Rasha. I really felt a persuasion, and he recused himself from right. Something. He felt that there was something wrong, and he did not know what it was. Months later, when they were cleaning for Pesach, or whatever happened, they were cleaning his jacket, and something felt not right. And they opened it up, and they found inside was a lot of money. So this, I don't remember the name of the prayer. This scuttle says, then he remembered the entire story. Shoichat has a life of its own, a supernatural koyach, just putting money in a person's account without him even knowing it's there. Somehow, this is like a spooky supernatural, has a koyach to pull a person in another direction. The koyach of money, even whether you know about it or you don't know about it, is so incredibly powerful, and it distorts a person's thinking to make an honest decision. And to the length of person, to the degree a person has to go to be honest in making decisions, is incredible. And that's what it says here. It says over here, the cherpa loynasa al kiroivai. A relative is the most difficult, because a relative, you are naturally partial to your relative. And if a relative comes into your court, you right away have a conflict of interest. You have a conflict of interest. And the person is tempted to take advantage of his power. Ultimately, there will be a din v'cheshvan, and he will be put to shame. And that's how Rashi learns the pshat in this process. If you go back to the Mitzudos, he doesn't say that. The Mitzudos, he says, Yash doesn't say anything, in fact. Nivzeh, interesting. It's interesting how Rashi, in the Mitzudos here, is avoiding a lot of very tough things. Pasuk Dalet, Nivzeh Be'ena, this really did well, yes. Nivzeh Be'ena of Nimas.
He recused himself.
Yeah. Or, I mean, on the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos recused himself. And he's not. Next, Nivzeh Be'ena of Nimas, Mishuhu Nivzeh Berishoy. Kama, a person that is despicable. He is despised because of his averos. Who are we referring? You're referring to here to Rishoyim. Nimas be'enav shel tzaddik. He is detestable in the eyes of the tzaddik. For example, kigoyin Chizkiyahu, he was a tzaddik. His father, Ochoz, was a rasha. And what did he do? He was not embarrassed. He was fearless. He took the body of his own father, dragged them Bederech Bezoyon in the street to show the world, I am not going to tolerate rishus, wickedness, no matter what. Gagoyin Chizkiyahu, Shegerer, Atzmois, Aviv, Bebizoyon. He did not tolerate rishus. He dragged his bones in disgrace to show the world not to tolerate rishoyin.
So what's the Nizeb Rishoyin?
What do you mean, Berish? Berish or Kama? Kama. A person.
Understand. So why is your Shigir Atzmos of the Bezoyon? Is that a.
Ochaz was a Rasha. Ochaz is the subject of Nivze Berishai. Ochaz was a Rasha, and he, in the eyes of Hashem, is Nivze. Therefore, Chizkiyahu, the Tzaddik, he looks at his father Ochaz, who's called a Nivze Berishai. And he's Nimos in the eyes of Chizkiyahu. Okay. In the eyes of Chizkiyahu Shel Tzaddik. So you look over here, Pasuk Dalet.
You would think that he has to keep it Avaim, then Malchus Yisrael, you have to keep it. But that's why it says, Al-Shlosha Hodolo, that's the Gemara. Al-Shlosha Hodolo,
that was one of the three things.
Hodolo, yeah.
That was one of the three things.
You did right to show, even though he was a Melech B'Yisrael, that
he did the right
thing. Deserved what he got to make a show of force. You know?
The subject of the word Nivzeh is Ochos, and Be'enov is the subject of the word Be'enov is Chizkiyahu, and Nimos in the eyes of the Tzaddik Chizkiyahu in his Nimos the Nivzeh. You always have to read the words backwards. You read a pasuk, you read the pasuk, and especially in Tehillim, you don't read the words immediately. You have to read the words backwards. Again, the subject of the word be'enav is the eyes of the tzaddik. In this pasuk, the tzaddik is Chizkiyahu. In his eyes, it's nimas. It is despicable. Who is despicable? Go back to the beginning of the expression. The nivze is ochas. Oh, but it's my own father. He's my own relative. How could I go and disgrace my own father and go to his cemetery, take out his body out of the coffin and drag his body in the mud? How could I do such a terrible? How could I do that? You know, you can, because in the eyes of Hashem, Ochaz was a nivzeh. He was a despicable person.
Is this always in all the books on a funeral? This is one of the mismarim.
No, the next one. That's the next one.
No. You say this also. It has when you're walking this grave. It's in all the.
The next one, Tezayim, is the big one.
Oh, this one is Miyogur Biolecha. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you say. Yiftam Ladovit is when you don't say Tachmin. But this is the one of them that you say. I'm wondering if, like, you shouldn't embellish at the Hespit. Don't say what you're not supposed to say.
It's very hard. I'm saying everything you're saying is MS, I'm sure, but it's very shocking for me to accept that Castillo was right to do this. Maybe somebody else should have done it, but him, his own son.
It really goes to show that a person. Look, you talk about Ezra. He deals with children and grandchildren of Nazis. Okay, and yeah, he's part of this group, right, where there are in Germany today children of the SS,
right,
and many of them have incredible sympathy to Jews, and are thoroughly ashamed of their parents, of, right, what their parents did, and you know he talks to them, and they have this group, and it's incredible.
Yep.
And some of them do exactly this. They completely disassociate themselves from their parents.
Well, that's different than this.
Why is it different?
I mean, yeah, he was mamish mevatei his father.
Yeah,
that's right.
His father, Ochaz, was from the worst of the worst. When Chizkiyo took the throne, according to the simple understanding, the Jewish people did not even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. This Jewish education was down to zero. It was a novelty. Guess what? They were doing renovations in the base. They found the Sefer Torah. What's that? What do you mean, what's that? What's a Sefer Torah? You know what a Sefer Torah is? You don't know what the Torah is? Bereish Bar Elokim Eis Hashem Eis Haaretz, the Aseres HaDibros. You don't know nothing? Ad Kedei Kach. Who's responsible for that? Ochos. And before that, going back, the leading of that,
right,
they did it deliberately. They wanted to eradicate Yadus from this world. You see that today. There are certain, you see in the politics, there are certain.
You don't have books.
There are certain
Mishugoyim. Everybody could finally see a Sefer Torah.
Okay.
Never saw anything.
Did you read up on Biden, the appointed to a very, very high position in the Department of Energy? A person's job is to manage nuclear waste. The whole world acknowledges this. This stuff is very dangerous. They appointed a person that is the biggest lowlife possible in this world. It's not to be believed what kind of person this person is. These people, they're mamish, they're here to be oiker from this world, morality. Totally to be mamish, mulchama l'Hashem. Unbelievable what kind of person this person is. To bechlad, that can exist such a person, and what kind of administration would seek out such a person to lead and to deal with things that are extremely delicate and important. To the whole world can be destroyed from this type of stuff. You need a person that values life, values this world. It's an incredible statement. These are very dangerous times. These are people over here. Over here, Ochaz made a statement. Chizkiyahu, he made a statement. I am not going to stand for this. He made a statement to the whole world. What he did was, I'm not making this up, we all know this. Says in the Farish and Rashi. And if we live during the times, obviously, you know, we're missing context. We're missing the context of the times to appreciate what's going on. If we lived in those times, obviously, it would be a whole different understanding of everything. Let's go further. Pasuk, now we go to Pasuk and Rashi. Pasuk is Kas v'lemasna b'neshach. This we just said a little bit yesterday. Wait, did I skip over here? No, we have to finish Rashi. Go back to the previous page 116. Nishba lehora la'atzmoy, a chosid, he takes an oath that he will bring harm upon himself. When it says harm, it does not mean he's going to commit suicide, he's going to slash himself, he's going to injure himself. What it means is he's going to fast. He's going to be memayit, to diminish in his enjoyment of this world in order to to come close to Hashem, like you have in the Gemara, lahara oy lehetiv. If a woman makes a shavua that she's going to fast, she's never going to eat chocolate. She's not going to wear fancy jewelry. So then the husband has until 24, a father and her husband has until 24 hours to annul the vow. Things like that. It doesn't mean you're going to bring upon yourself physical harm. It means the person is going to do things to diminish his pleasure in this world for good reasons. L'shem Shemayim. V'lo yomir shivu asa. He does not go the next day to the dayan and say, I have charata, please annul my vow. Kal v'choymer she'enei mimira b'dover she'enei lira asa. How much more so if a person takes a shavua that he will do a mitzvah? There's a principle, a person can make a neder, noidrin b'shas, let's say a person b'eis sara, v'yidr yakov neder lemar, noidrin b'eis sara, let's rachmona l'slot, there's an eis sara, so there's such a principle that a person can make a neder, that he's going to learn every, he's going to say every day Tehillim, he's going to say every day 20 mizmanim of Tehillim for the next year. Person, I'm going to give a certain amount of tzedakah every single day. I'm going to fast every Monday and Thursday. So certainly when it comes to things, he's going to do good things. He's going to do mitzvahs, letoif, good things. Certainly he's not going to back down on these things. He's not going to annul an oath or a neder. That's not lira'ah. Pasukei, kas belenasan b'meshech, v'sheikha al naki loy lakach, in the next page 118, does not take a bribe al naki lehar shioi bedin lahatis mishpatai. Now Rashi learns the pshat in the pasuk very, very simple. There's a naki, there's an innocent person, and someone comes to the judge and says, here is a lot of money, and I want you to decide against this innocent man. Okay, that's the classic case of a sheichad lo yikach. Don't take a bribe. Sheichad l'luch al naki on an innocent person leharshu to declare him guilty b'din lahatois mishpata. Period. Now comes along Rashi v'oid perashu rabbeinu le'lokach sheichad al naki lenakoisay b'dinoi. The other way around. Let's take the example that I told you yesterday. The judge already decided that he's going to be innocent. And now someone says, listen, and the person who comes to the judge does not know what the judge has decided. But the judge already decided on his own that he is innocent. He even wrote it down. They wrote down the decision. It's in a sealed envelope. And tomorrow it's going to be read in court, what the judge already decides. And now someone comes to the judge and says, here's a lot of money. Please decide in favor of this person. So maybe a judge will say to himself, I already made the decision. It's already in a sealed envelope. So I can take money. I'm taking money for an innocent person. That is usur. It is usur to take money, even to take money when for a decision that anyway you would make. Anyway, even that is usur. Even that. Why is that usur? First of all, it's about, obviously you could understand it's corrupt. One thing leads to another, but even that in itself is a corruption. A judge has to be completely separate. Rabbi Seinu Perishu. Loy lokach shoychad al naki on an innocent person lenakoisay bedinai to declare him innocent in his din. That's it. Anyway, he's innocent. So what? I'm not doing anything wrong. Kal vechoymer. How much more so? Shein lokach shoychad lahatayis mishpat to pervert the judgment. A person who does this lo yimoit vehu roy lagur beholecha. He's deserving, going back now to the beginning of the Mizmor, he's deserving to live in your tent. Lo yimo li oilam im yi. Now here's what Rashi over here is coming to say, something very, very profound. This touches upon the principle of tzaddik v'raloi. This is not a full answer, but we do see people in this world that suffer, even though they are righteous. So this pasuk opens up a whole world of commentary. And it says, lo yimo, there's an extra word. Lo yimoit le'olam. We see this pasuk mentions 11 qualities. 11 qualities of a chassid. And the pasuk includes, if you follow these 11 rules of life, you are deserving to live in Hashem's abode. You are deserving to live in Hashem's har. And not only that, lo yimoit, you will not falter. Really? Look around in society. There are people that fulfill these 11 conditions to the T. Perfect. And yet, they suffer quite a bit. They don't dwell in Hashem's abode. No one has respect for them. They suffer. Rashi says, I'll tell you the difference. It's true. They may be down and out, but not forever. Not forever. It's only a temporary decline. They will recover. They will rebound. And the day will come when they will be on the top. A person that does not follow these rules, when he goes down, he's gone forever. Forever. They will never, ever recover. And history has proven Rashi's interpretation to be correct. All of these evil empires, where are they? Where are they? They're gone. They're gone off the face of the earth. Off the face of the earth. New leaders, new countries. There's no zecher, not even in a museum, of many of these evil empires who have come and gone. Klal Yisrael, who as a whole, follow the rules, as a whole have fulfilled these 11 conditions, although it's true, tzaddik v'raloi, and throughout Jewish history, the Jewish people have suffered enormously, but guess what, we're still here. We're still here. Although it may be that we, the Jewish people, have been yimot, it has been fulfilled, the term yimot, we have faltered, but it's not le'oilam. They will return. When the evil empires of the world, when they are yimoit, they're gone forever. They're gone. When their reckoning comes, they never ever recover. Nismala hasu'ah, poof, gone, puff of smoke. Sodom, completely obliterated. Many empires all over the world. This is the story of Jewish history. These words of Rashi are powerful. Lo yimoit le'olam. What is the word le'olam doing here? Im yimoit. If you do see a person that fulfilled each one of these 11 principles, and you do see that he has faltered, he has fallen, and he's gone, ein moitosoi moitas olam. It's not forever. It's temporary. Ela mismoteit ve'ole. He will rise once again. Mismoteit means he will. That's a good translation. But he will climb. He will crawl and climb and stand erect once again. He will return. Okay, that's a very powerful Rashi. Now before we conclude, we'll go through a couple of short things. Short ideas on this Mizma. Okay, first thing is, let's go from one page at a time. Things that I wrote down, it's hard to see here exactly, one thing at a time. Let's first start over here with a Malbim. Malbim, back in the beginning of the Mizmar, just a few things before we conclude. The Malbim, beginning of the Mizmar, it says over here, Bahar, there are two different things that we mentioned. There's Mi Yogar B'Ohelecha, Mi Yishkoin Bahar Kodshecha. Page 114. Okay, we're just going to go through a few things that I noted. So the pasuk goes on to say, who's deserving? Pasuk Beis, Hoylech Tamim Upoil Tzedek. In the Malbum, pasuk Gesundheit, the Malbum, pasuk Beis, page 114, Hoylech, the mitzvahs, he differentiates between the mitzvah ben Adam Lamokim and ben Adam Lachaveroi. Pasuk Beis, Hoylech, the mitzvahs, ben Adam Lamokim. The first part is Hoylech Tamim. That's Adam Lamokoim. Should be Adam Lamokoim. Shabbo Yisrael Chosei Hashem. Tzarech Shiyeh Hoylech Tamim. And then jump down one line. Poyel Tzedek. Right before it says the Poyel Tzedek. The mitzvah should be Adam Lachaveru Yiyeh Poyel Tzedek. A practitioner of Tzedek. So this is a very important principle, because unfortunately we find in the world times where there are some very good people who are phenomenal. Ben Adam Lamokoim. They have a stellar reputation of their accomplishments of Ben Adam Lamakoim. They have Chidushei Torah, they write books, they do this, they do that. And then when it comes Ben Adam Lachaveroi, they're abusive people. abuse. You know some of them? And then you have people who are very good Ben Adam Lachaveroi. They're phenomenal. Phenomenally good Ben Adam Lachaveroi. They'll fight the world Ben Adam Lachaveroi.
They're not observant. When it comes to emuna, Shabbos, when it comes to bin adam lamakim, they're out to lunch. Mi yogur b'ohelecha, mi yishka in b'har kodshecha. Who really is deserving? Never forget, the person has to be the shleimus means both. Bin adam lachaveroi and bin adam lamakim. Okay, now, let's go to the next idea is a radak. The radak on the next page, page 115, Mizmor LeDavid, Pasuk Aleph, Hashem Yogur B'Olecha, Hu Hashamayim. So when we learned this Mizmor, we said, we learned from the Mitzudos, and I remember we said from the Yogur B'Olecha refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Who is deserving to enter into the Mikdash, and who is deserving to enter into Yerushalayim, Yerak HaYidesh, Tahar Kodshecha. The radak, a little spooky here, and he says, Hu Hashamayim. V'kina oisam ba'oyel lefi shehem misuchim ba'oyel v'har kodshechu har hamaria. He's saying, who is deserving to come into after he dies? In fact, someone over here, I don't want to see which one over here, says, Gan Eden. I don't remember where I saw that. Someone over here on the page says, who is deserving to enter into Gan Eden? Who is deserving to enter into Shamayim? Shamayim, what's interesting about this radak, he is describing the oyel. Okay, you go to Lubavitch, you go to the oyel. Okay, the oil, we have, you know, the oil is the Beis HaMikdash. It's called the Mishkan, what's called the oil moed. The word oil is used in many contexts. And here, according to the Radak, Radak is Ma'amish, you know, the Ikam Mefarish, and Nanach, he is the oil means Shamayim. Who is deserving in Acham? Me'ev Eshim is going to go into the place where he deserves to go in heaven. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look in the Minchas Orev, he said a little bit more spooky. The Minchas Arv, he random references, it refers to Mi Yogur B'Shoicher Toiv, that's the name of the Medrash on Tehillim. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, I'm looking over here on page 115, on the bottom, on the right side, in the Minchas Arev, Pasuk Aleph Tehei, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mo im Nodo V'Avihu, Shenichnesu L'Beis HaMikdash Yotzu Serufim, Mikan V'Elech, Mi Yogur Oyolecha. In other words, who is deserving to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He learns this reference, the oil refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Look, Nodav Yaviu didn't make it out. Did not make it out. So therefore, it's a warning for the Kohanim Gedolim on Yom HaKippurim. Make sure you deserve to go inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chazal said at the time of the Bayis Sheni, there were 300 Kohanim Gedolim. And they make a calculation, there were some that lived a very long tzaddikim. And then after you take away the tzaddikim and account for their long lives, You left with a very large number of kohanim, and a few years, and that means that basically no one lived out a year. The vast majority of them, they did not live out even 1 year. What happened to them?
It's really a long because one of them was in the 80 years.
Right, exactly. Right. That's why. So therefore, how could it possibly be 300 kohanim, 400 and
they average less than a year?
That means they all died. What are they on Yom Kippurim? Why? Because they didn't learn Mizmar Tezvav. If they would have learned to come to the morning koil and learn Mizmar Tezvav, they wouldn't have taken the job. Mi Hashem, mi Yogur
B'Ohalecha.
They were taking it anyway, because didn't they learn? They're so fools. The cover, the tithe of the cover was so great, it was Kedai to go Kiddush Hashem. Unbelievable, right?
No.
They thought it's not going to happen to them?
I remember when Kennedy was shot, I remember this very clearly, everybody ran to become president. Well, Humphrey and a whole bunch of people were all running to become the president. He was just now shot. He was assassinated.
Yeah, no, he got shot.
Didn't stop anybody.
Oh, you're saying very good.
He started wiring around in a bubble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're saying very good. Okay. Okay, yes, obviously, no, you have to, you can't, it's not a perfect comparison, but you're saying version 1. The tithe for COVID is so great. It's not, it totally blinds, and if all of these people, they all want to become, they all died. And it's like, no, look, like I told you, I always go back to the New York Times article in the magazine section. This goes back probably more than 20 years. An incredible article. I should have saved it. Probably can find it online somewhere. Case study over 25 years of people who won the lottery. People who won the lottery. They followed them around for 25 years. Every single person who won the lottery said it destroyed their lives. B'li yoytzei min haklal. So how come everyone today is ready to buy lottery tickets, including me?
I'll take the chance.
It's not going to happen to me. We have the Torah. We know how to deal with it. Yeah. How come everyone's running? It's not going to happen to me. Look, I'll show you the article. Case study. Everyone said it was the biggest chum that ever happened to them. Destroyed their lives. Totally destroyed their lives.
So, I mean, Yechidim that understood, but the people who weren't so poor, you know, they understood the value of money and they realized. It happened to most athletes who make money. One person was on a big interview with him, finding your roots, and said he was, after he retired, within a few years, he was broke.
Yeah.
A lot of them, like,
they don't know how to manage their money. These are people mad. They have no understanding of how to manage money. Doing the most bizarre things. I just read about the one who's a quarterback, big legend. So he has a yacht that's bigger than the Titanic. This is what he's spending his money on, to go buy. You need a yacht the size of the Titanic.
That's what you need. Wife makes more. That's the truth.
This is what you need. This is what you need to spend your money on.
Double what he does.
I guess I really don't understand. I guess I will. See, if you'll tell me he comes from a family, from the cradle, he was born a Rockefeller, you know. All right, you know, you come from a family of Ashuas. You come from nothing. You come from zero. And also, one day your bank account is $1 billion. You know, it's a little scary. It's a little scary that, you know, it's one you go on exotic vacations to go. All right, listen, what do I know? I don't. It's not my world. I can't.
My father-in-law used to told me all the years that he came out, you know, after he survived the war, all his friends who survived the war, who were rich in Czechoslovakia, they came to America with the shirts on their back. Mm-hmm. Within 10 years, they were loaded again. And he never realized why. A group of these people, from nothing, they became rich like they were in Europe.
Wow.
They got involved in something in the big steel.
Wow. It's interesting. Is it a mazel or is it a drive?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a mazel.
B'ni chayei mizayne, b'mazel tali milsa. A mazel Yisrael. What does it mean exactly? There are some people that know what they do. They have no hatzlacha. Do you see? It's amazing. All the effort time. I was once someone said to me, the A's work for the B's.
Right.
It's true. It's very scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very scary. It's so true. Like some of these people. What are these guys? And who's working for them? Sweating away, yom v'layla, doing everything for them. People. And what do they get? They get paid peanuts. They get my peanuts. The A's work for the B's. So what's the pshat? So why are they still called B's? Why do we perceive them as B's? It's the drive. They have a koyach. They're really, really smart in their way. There are certain areas that they have a koyach. Or no, it's pure math. It's a mix of both. It's a mix of both. Someone says they had a certain gevir. You know, someone that we know became extremely, just like, you know, he mamash had nothing. He started out with literally could not pay the rent. And now he became... It's not to be believed. And everyone is running to him, and everyone, you know, everyone attaches themselves to him. Someone said, tell me, if he wasn't rich, would he have all these friends, all these groupies? So I said, someone told me a very good story about Purim. There used to be a gevir, big gevir. They used to line up around the block, literally the whole day for to collect. He lost all his money. No one comes on Purim to him anymore. He has no money, nothing to give. So he has a friend on the block who it's Purim, and he realizes that his friend on the block is suffering very much because today was his day. It used to be back in the day they lined up around the block for tzedakah, and today no one's coming. No one. So he goes to commiserate with him. So he goes, he brings him Shalach Manos, he sits down by the table, tries to cheer him up. So the fellow who used to be the big gevir, he says to the one who's visiting, he says, you know, Purim's a hard day for me, you know, I used to be, I don't understand something. Okay, they're not coming anymore for the money, but what about my advice? The Eitzais. You say, people should still be coming, lining up around the block to me on Purim, because I gave them good business advice. He really believed. Little did he know, no one came for your business advice. They came for one thing only. They came for your money. And this guy is in a dreamland. He's depressed. Why no one's coming to him to seek out business advice? You hear what goes on? It's unbelievable.
You know, a lot of people go with their firm, this and that, they lost the money.
They're embarrassed. They're embarrassed. That's right. They're depressed.
They go to Florida.
$20 a flight
when they walk in.
Okay, let's look over here. Okay, another. I'll look at a Chaimah Sanach. Let's look at the Chaimah Sanach Pasuk Aleph. Chaimah Sanach. Let's. You got it. We're up to page 115. I'm doing now the Chaimah Sanach. Pasuk Mizmor Tezvav, Mizmor Tezvav Pasuk Aleph in the Chaimah Sanach. We have the article on page 115. I want to do this Chaimah Sanach. The Efshu Loimar. Case okay, Efshul Loimar Kitzas B'Signoin Acher. Okay, it's the first, it's the paragraph, three lines down, on page 115 on the left side. B'Signoin Acher in the Chaimah Sanoch. D'chshah Yeshua Haya B'Midas Rachamav. The Yeshua Lo Haya Ruyim Oz B'Rachamav. Yoshia Yisrael V'Hi Guula Gula B'Chlolus. Okay, B'Chlolus B'Shem Havaya. I'm just making sure I'm saying I'm doing the right thing over here. No, this is the previous. I made him say this is the previous mizvah. I apologize. That was the previous mizvah. Right, that's very right. It's the previous mizvah. Okay, let's go to the next page. Let's turn to page 116. On page 116, there's another important malbum. On 116, the malbum pasuk, the malbum pasuk dalet. Look at pasuk dalet. Nivze be'enav. Kiroivai hanimos b'masav. His relative, here, everybody say, his relative that is nimos b'masav. Kuchumay shador shechazal al chizkiya shagar atzmais ovev al mita shal chavolim. Avul es yirei Hashem yichabed. Hagam she'enam kiroivav shemizem mivo'or she'ikar rikshoy slibo hu l'chvoyd Hashem l'chabed yireyav ule havzois oivir mitzvaysav. He's not afraid of them. He's going on. The point over here, the thing is over here, he adds a little bit more than Rashi. Rashi says, Nivze be'enav nimos. He's saying something a little bit more than what Rashi is, because he's saying that the word kiroivoy on the previous pasuk is to be applied to this section. In other words, a person that is nivze, he, in the eyes of the Torah, he's a despicable person. Such a person, in the eyes of a tzaddik, nimas. I can't even look at this person. It's disgusting. Even, now Rashi quoted the Chazal of Ochos. Ochos happened to be the father of Chizkiyahu. But he just makes that point that even if the person that in the eyes of Hashem is nivze, is your own relative. In other words, he's taking the word kuroivoy and he's attaching it to the word nivze. Make believe the pasuk ended with the word loinosa al, period. Kuroivoy nivze. He's saying like a drush. If a person, even if it's your own relative and he's nivze, but he is nivze, sorry, I can't help you. If you're nivze in the eyes of Hashem, then in my eyes you're nimos. You know the expression? Someone said to a mother of a boy. The boy was in Shidduchim trying to find. So they asked the mother, "So do you like this girl?" So the mother says, "If my son likes her, I love her. Just let him find someone. If he likes her, I love her."
That's a very good attitude.
And so when it comes to hatred, if Hashem dislikes this person, I hate that person. It's the opposite. Okay, if you like him, I love him. Go to the other extreme. If Hashem, you dislike him, then I hate him. I go in Hashem's ways. And I'll go even further. It's an expression. It's a certain, I don't know how accurate this is in halacha, in hashkafa, but indeed, really, that's what it's saying over here. Between these two words, which one is a stronger word? Is the word nivze or the word nimas? I think the word nimas is a much stronger word. Nimas means it's disgusting. It's detestable. The word nivze, it's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. Nimas has more oomph, has more taikif. The word nimas. So here what it's saying over here is, kuroivai nivze, If a person's relative in the eyes of Hashem is level of hatred of 10, znivze, then in my eyes he's 10 plus.
So even if it's Kreva,
right,
which you see different than nowadays, where
nepotism,
the child could be the biggest nivze, but the mother, it's my child, I gotta stay
right. Okay, so yeah, obviously there's a balance. Obviously, for, you know, a child is a little bit different.
Okay, so right. It's my uncle, it's my cousin. I gotta stick up. Family is family. We stick up for them. No,
right.
He's a nivze. He's a nivze.
I once told you the story. A person went to the principal called him down. He had a child in the yeshiva. The child was a terror. Was a meshugna. He was a mamash, and the yeshiva did not know what to do with him. And they tried so, but the day came, by he hayoyim, they're going to throw him out.
Right.
That's it, they're going to destroy the whole school, he has to go. So the principal calls up the parents, we have to have a meeting. And the principal was dead set on telling the parents, the kid is out. Go find him a new school, we don't care, the kid is out. So the principal sits down, the parents, talks to the parents, and after the parents listen, the father gets up and he says, I can't believe what you're telling me. I can't believe that he's not, you don't consider my child to be the best, to be the valedictorian. I thought I was coming here because you're telling me that at the end of the year, you're going to make him the valedictorian. And that's what I thought. And you're telling me you're throwing him out? It threw the principal off. I'm here telling you that he's the worst of the worst. Atke dekach, he asked me to throw him out of the school, and you're walking into thinking that he's the best student in the entire school? Like, are we living in different universes? But yet, because the parent had such a different attitude, they had so much faith and confidence in their child, it forced the principal, okay, maybe we should try again.
Well,
maybe
there's a...
What?
Why do I say the principal was wrong? Because if the parent didn't know how big...
Okay,
how come
it's not a good... It's not an accurate story, but there's a message in the story. There's a message in the story is, if you really, really believe and in the impossible, things can happen. If the principal says the kid is the worst, okay, he's the worst. The parent believes in their child. But the child is a terror. He belongs in a prison. Okay, we got a problem here. We got a problem. But it totally changes the equation. Okay, so I hear what you're saying. That's really by a child. But you're dealing over here with adults. You're dealing over here with real corruption, real abuse. Over here, the Malm over here is saying something very interesting. Kiroivai nivze. First of all, he's taking the two words together. Even if my relative in the eyes of Hashem is nivze, even though he's my relative, then I hate him even more than you hate him, Hashem. Then be'enav, he's nimos. Now here's the catch, this is the beauty. However, when it comes to someone that you like, Hashem, I love him. I love him, I'll be mechabed him. Even if he's not my relative, he's an outsider. Yes, Yirei Hashem is the opposite yichabed. Beautiful way how the Malm puts these two together. Okay. Let's take a look over here at the Radak on the next page, and that will wind that one. We'll wind down with that. Just one little piece of Radak on page 117 to finish off this mizmar. Look at towards the bottom of this paragraph. The cherpa loynasa al kiroivai. Okay, a different interpretation we said before. The cherpa again, page 117 in the Radak on the top left side. In the middle of the Radak, towards the, in the middle of that big paragraph, it's in bold. The Amar b'Torah Saloshen, the Cherpa Loi Nasa Al Kroivai, Shloi Cheref the Gideif Adam, Af Al Pi Shuhu Gidfoi Oihera Loi, the Amar Nasa Benetila Saloshen. Now Cherpa means to put to shame. We until now have been translating the word the Cherpa Loi Nasa Al Kroivai to mean. We're discussing a judge or a person in power, and he is honest, he is not corrupt, he does not pervert the law, which will result ultimately that the judge will suffer shame. We read this Rashi, we struggle with this Rashi. Rashi is giving us a very convoluted pshat. What it means, it's a roundabout pshat, is we're dealing with a person, and he has in front of him a baldin. And the judge pulls all the strings in order to do him favors, and the judge now gets away with it. But remember, the day will come, the day of reckoning will come, when there will be an investigation, it will be discovered that you, the judge, are corrupt, and you went and you broke the law for your own relative, and they're going to take away from you all of your honor. And you, the judge, are going to suffer cherpa. Not now, it'll take time until the law will catch up with you. The day of reckoning will come, and cherpa will be cast upon you, the judge. But if you're a tzaddik, and when your relative comes to court, and you don't do anything wrong, you're honest, and you don't pull the strings, you don't, then, you realize what you've done, they're not going to remove the statue of you from the town square in 100 years from now, because your reputation will be maintained. The cherpa, who is the subject of the cherpa? The judge. Loi nasa, he does not carry, because al means because kurovo, of the corruption that this judge engaged to save his own relative. That's harashavim shan the pasuk, which is a roundabout pshat. It's a very difficult translation to fit those words into those words. Radak doesn't say that. Radak is very pashut. Radak says, you're good to your relatives. You don't insult them. You don't curse them. People have a tendency to fight with relatives more than their own with son after. Come to shul, he's a tzaddik. He's such a good person. He gets shlishi, he gets the shir, he gets chazak. And you go ask his wife, he's a terror. You ask his children, they hate him. Ask the relatives, there are many people that suffer from this condition, that amongst their own relatives, their own family, that they deal with it all the time, they have no respect, no regard. But with the whole world, I was once sent as a volunteer to tape a shiur during Corona of a certain person. Just go to the house with the camera. It'll take 45 minutes, turned into take almost 2 hours. To sit there and to videotape a shiur, that's going to be part of some type of thing. So I go there, and the person is sitting there. I come there, and I was looking on the wall, and they have beautiful pictures of this person when he got married, all this and that, and his wife is there. I tape the shiur, and he's talking profound things about the world, and the shiur is over, and his wife was there, and I was very, very disturbed how he treated his wife. The relationship between this big rabbi and his speaking now, giving a shiur to the whole world, it's going to be put on this document, whatever it's going to be on. He's talking about Torah and Yerushalayim and Teshuva and this and that. And when the shiur is over, he behaves in a way that he doesn't do anything wrong. It's just disturbing. Especially in front of me. I mean, whatever. Maybe when the strangers walk out of the house. But like, okay, the shiur was over. Okay, the camera's off. We're done. Good. And then as I was packing up the equipment to go, he's talking to his family. And are you the same person that just gave the shiur? I'm not telling you any chidushim you don't know already. You don't know. I'm not telling you chidushim. So that's what this part's going to be. This seems to be a very common condition of life, where people present themselves to the world as one person, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and at home they're a very different person. This is a very common condition.
That's part of what Picasso, Picasso is,
the real person, and the Radak is saying that's the pshuto shel mikra. The person, the cherpa loy nasa al kiroivoy, specifically, we're dealing here with a person that's not a phony person. Yeah, of course, to the world he's very good, he's very nice, he gets covered, he gets money, he gets job opportunities, yes? But the person is the real deal. And guess what? At home, to his own family, his own kroivim, who know him personally, he doesn't scream at them, he doesn't curse them, he doesn't say, where's the dinner? Where's the food? How come you didn't do the laundry? How come this is not? The cherpa, shame, loy nasa, he doesn't cast al kiroivai. Not the complex roundabout pshat of Rashi. Rashi has it's a very complicated pshat that Rashi gives. Rashi creates a whole case, and then he takes the words, fit the words into the scenario that I've given you. Radak is very pashat. The cherpa loy nasa al kiroivai, sheloy, cheref, vigidev, he doesn't curse. He doesn't curse and abuse and insult his own family in private. Adam, af al pi shehu gidfoy oyher aloy. Even when they tackle deserve it, even though maybe his family is not so nice to him, they don't treat him with the respect that he feels that he deserves, he doesn't go and insult them. Okay, that's a very interesting shot. Okay, this concludes this Mizmar, Mir Tashem, on Monday. We're going to start Mizmar Tes Zayin. Take a short break, we'll do some Chumash in a few moments.
That's so funny. So funny we're talking about this today. Because yesterday I did a lot of my, that's why I wasn't here. And without the brother.